commencing the satsang on November 23rd, 2009 in Simla City, early morning, golden morning series. Puja Deepak Bhai in front of the Lord Krishna, and just placed a garland on him as we bow to the Lord whose science has helped us. Coming in front of our Gnani Purush Dadashri and our Atma Gnani Pujani Ruma, giving offering flowers and bowing down to their feet. It is at the feet of the Gnani that all essence of knowledge lies. Moving over to Lord Shiva, I am Shiva, I am the Self. And to the large image, larger presence of Simandar Swami with the golden crown. Moving over to the three goddesses, two Amba on each side, in the middle Padmavati Devi Ma. Hey Amba Ma, may I become natural in my Prakriti with your grace. And hey Parvati, hey Padmavati Ma, please protect my path of liberation and let no no obstructions come in my path to attain this Self in all its glory. As he turns around at all the crowd, now the residual crowd of Simandar City, because it's 8 o'clock Monday morning, and he looks at everyone. Crowd of about, I would say, 800 to 1,000 people now. There is a lot of excitement in the air because the golden morning series satsangs are associated with advanced level questions and answers and deeper probing into the very subtle aspects of the exact attainment of the path and the exact attainment of the experience of the Self. And the clearer and the finer the understanding, the greater the inner acceptance. Shifts through a whole bunch of questions, including a little book in his hand. Noises, certain noises elicit smiles. Jai Sat Chit Anand. The awareness of the eternal is bliss. I bow to the Supreme Lord who resides within you with a total sense of obeisance and oneness. Namaskar, namaskar, namaskar. Jai Sat Chit Anand.
Sankara Pusat Kam, Tatam Vikosat Nityananda.
What is the difference between doubt and serious doubt? And what are the precautions one takes in suspicion? This is in Hindi. Shanka is something different and precaution is something. So one needs, there's a difference between precaution and suspicion. Precaution is the precautionary step. Precautionary step is a safe side, whereas dash and shanka is doubt, is deception. He sees something, but in the dark night you see something, and all is very little light. Say second day of the moon, you see something, and there is, and then he thinks that something has entered the home. Therefore, he believes that something has entered the home, but the light is not enough. Precaution is a kind of relative awareness, whereas suspicion is suspicion. Both of them are lights of the intellect, however, but in suspicion and doubt, one sees the other person at fault, one sees and suspects the other person. And this one is, precaution is to protect one's own self. Suppose, you know, one might suspect the wife or the daughter or a business partner for embezzling, etc. That is where the suspicion and doubts arise. Whereas precautions are natural precautions to attain one's own safe side. Whenever there is a crisis or a sudden crisis, everybody enters into a precautionary mode. Supposing somebody has been betrayed, then what should be the relationship? Should one continue suspicion or doubt? No, one must not harbor suspicion. One can employ the necessary precautionary steps to avoid further betrayal. But to see the other person at fault, to suspect the other person, or to see him at guilty is really part of the suspicion, is it not? Yes, if he has stolen something from you once, second time around, lock your stuff so that he does not have access to it. But do not blame him and do not continue to have prejudices or a prejudiced opinion about him that he is a thief. To continue to have a prejudicial opinion about him that he is a thief is wrong. If you do not talk to him as if he is a thief, continue to have a normal interaction with him, but protect your own things. The question is from a gentleman from Chicago in Hindi, Anurag. Will one bind karma by having suspicion with another person, on another person? Yes, if it is bhavana, there is an initial discharge. However, once you become aware of it, you can wash it off. But if you employ egoism and say yes, and the same thing with the question was with reference to a dream. A dream is a discharge. However, if you continue to revive it through ego, then it is no longer a discharge. And so then it will have its effect. When you there is no ego in a dream, so there is no binding of karma. However, once the dream has been revived in reality and one becomes the owner of the dream and says, I did this and I did this, then there is a subtle charging effect, because then the ego kicks in the awakened state. Next question. From a book. Up to only 13th, page 4, part 2, up to 2013, page 4, part 2, second paragraph. Somebody asked, is prajna and agna not a belief? In other words, prajna is the energy of the S capital self, and agna is the energy of the small self. So is this not a... Deepak Bhai is reading from the Aptavani. Is that not just a belief? And if it indeed it is of the self, S capital, then why is it that this is just a belief? Will you please explain? Now, because this being read from the middle, one is a wrong belief, the other one is a... and the other one is a right belief. For the right belief... The right energy that arises from the right belief is called prajna shakti. The energy that arises from the wrong belief is called agna shakti. Or the... if you are in the wrong company and the wrong people, then the wrong energies will arise and it will take you in the worldly path. And if you are in Mahatma Satsang, the right belief will arise and that will take you towards the energy of the S capital self. By looking at the packing, the ignorance arises. By looking at the self as capital in others, knowledge arises. You have said that prajna gets covered. It says, is it that this is as you move from understanding U capital to E experience capital, then you are aware of the bliss within you. You have the right understanding, the right vision, the right darshan, the right knowledge, which is called samyak jnan. So therefore we have to follow the she's saying we have to follow the jnan, understanding point to point, and then it will come into point to point experience, and in between the two there is the penance. And so then jnan, once the experience comes, then the conduct will come, the charitra. If you have 10 understanding and 3 jnan, then you will have 3 experience. If you have a little bit of the jnan, partial jnan is partial prajna, full prajna is experience. If there is a misunderstanding, then the original vision has happened that I am pure soul. But now, as the filled stock, so with that original understanding, the knowledge that has been received through grace is used to deal with the unfolding junk in the Prakruti, and then how to settle with it with equanimity. But if you say, why is it happening to me, why did he do this, then the entanglements arises. And therefore, and the right belief is I am Shuddhatma, I am not Bhanu Ben. But then the wrong beliefs are still not have gone, that I am superior, I am better, I know something, etc. So those residual wrong beliefs have to go, and all that illusory attraction is wrong, greed is wrong, all of those residual wrong beliefs in the Prakruti have to also go. And so our opinions change about it, and as the opinions change, then there is one more step left, and every time it arises, then one has to not protect it, but to do the four-step pratikraman, four-step, but again when it arises, once the dvesh faults leave, then the rag faults are there too. When you are aware in rag and dvesh, then slow you will be able to dissolve those things much faster than if you are not aware. Sometimes she says, I believe that I want it to melt away very fast, but if it doesn't melt away, then there is a residual suffering. Then I wonder, when will it melt? We never support it. However, there is a underlying sense that when will it leave, because of the weakness of the self, because you're not thoroughly installed in the S capital self, that is why you wonder when will it go, well will it go. The one who is thoroughly installed in the S capital self will not have such anxieties about when it will leave or when it will not leave, because he is not concerned with, he is only concerned with what is in front of him, not when will it leave, etc. And so the most important thing is not to leave one's own self state. Is it right? Yes. Yes. The nature of Gnan is that Gnan is to see the evidences and circumstances as they arise in front of you and not to try to push them away or to be pulled towards them. And yes, the intellect will say, when will it leave? When will it leave? When will it leave? Or why is it not leaving, etc. But that is the role of the intellect, and the role of the prajna is to just observe what is in front of you and just to see what is happening, that's all. To continue to see S capital, see what is happening. Many times I feel like that. I feel like suppressing the intellect, however, but then I wonder if, because the intellect is now prominent, I wonder whether my awareness is decreased. Yes, you should say, you should be, you are the knower of the one who is aware as well as the one who is not aware. So you are the eternal knower only of the one who is aware and the one who is not aware. And the one who is not aware, he says, the self is the knower of all the effects that are happening to the non-self complex. The self, again, I'll repeat that, the self is the knower of the, all that is happening to the non-self complex. So then the ego then takes over. It says, I'm aware, I'm more aware, my awareness is there. There you have to be careful about that. Now page 44, more on Aptavani 13, on page 44, line 5, part 2. This is to do with the greed, the problem of greed and five agnas. It is being read in the middle, so it is difficult to get the context. What is it that interferes with your Nididhyasan? Nididhyasan is the ultimate contemplation of the S capital self, and it begins with the visualization of the face of the Gnani. So what are the problems that arise? Yeah. Everybody's Gnan state is according to one's own capacity, that says Dada Shri. One must have a strong determination. Everybody has different levels of Nididhyasan. Everybody's chit has been purified. Is it not? Dada Shri says, yes, it has been purified. So the when prajna arises, when we give you gnan, and the more you apply the five agnas, and then the energy of applying the five agnas, and the more you apply, then the more the greed leaves. Now this is a very subtle greed that Dada Shri is talking about. The greed for life versus five agnas on this side. So the more the energies of the five agnas, the more the dissipation of the greed for life, not the physical greed. When impure, impurities of chit on one side versus the energy of the five agnas are being discussed. What are you trying to ask? I The energy of the five agnas and the energy to remain in the five agnas is dependent upon the firm determination to, and if the energy is less, then it is more difficult to wipe off the junk externally. There is an external junk in the non-self, and then there is the energy to remain in the five agnas. There is a constant counterbalance of these two. The prajna shakti has arisen. However, what is bothering the prajna shakti? It is the filled stock of past life. And it's in all the filled stock, all this junk. This is the way it should be, this is the way it should be, etc. But it is, the purity is in conviction only. But beyond the level of conviction, at the level of the awareness and at the level of the experience, there is less intensity of purity, and therefore your ability to remain in the five agnas is interfered with by the external non-self forces. So, just as a person who has had a drink is affected even long after he has stopped drinking by the after effects of having taken alcohol, in the same way, the after effects of having entered into the non-self complex and to have become the non-self complex, it has its little bit of intoxication that tends to affect your ability to remain in the five agnas and the energy to remain in the five agnas. Therefore, and because the non-self has interfered, therefore the prajna shakti kind of dims down a little bit. But therefore from us, our side, we should, for our side, as capital, we need to deal with it with equanimity, and we need to be energized in equality. And recognize, if somebody suffer, then pratikraman, to see the mistakes and to do the pratikraman. By doing pratikraman, the awareness increases. As the awareness increases, then the kashais decrease, and as the kashais decrease, the energy to remain in the five agnas increases, and this is how it works. And so then, as the awareness increases, you'll be able to see more mistakes, and as you see more mistakes, as you do more pratikramans, the energy arises. As the energy arises again, you'll be able to see more mistakes, etc. So it is a positive cycle. The other one is a negative vicious cycle. This is a positive energizing cycle on this side through pratikraman. So, but if you do not do the pratikramans, or if you do not clear off these mistakes, then what happens is that the intellect will take over, and so this is the exact manner by which the prajna shakti and the energy will increase. What about the greed part of it? Deepakbhai says, I'll have to double check the whole context before. She hit upon a sentence which was not in order, and so Deepakbhai says, I'll check and let you know later on. Because it has been taken out of context, we do not know the whole flow of the conversation with Dadashri, so that is why it is difficult to tell. Next question. From a gentle. What is samyak buddhi, samyak avastha, and samyak gnan, right? There is no avastha, there is no right circumstance. That is a wrong word he used. Samyak means correct and right. On this side of the line of demarcation, on our side of the line of demarcation. Yes, there is samyak buddhi, which is samyak, right intellect, and right darshan, right vision. Once you have the right vision, then samyak gnan, right knowledge will arise, and then right conduct will arise. There is nothing called samyak avastha, because all avastha or such circumstance or situation by very nature is changing and transient and perishable. Yes, there is a certain, you can say, no, keval gnan, kaivalya is a Vedant word, whereas keval gnan is a very, very highly elevated state, absolute enlightenment, where you are able to see the subtlest elemental level things in the entire universe. That is a very high order. What is inner tap? What is inner knowledge? Antarik gnan is inner knowledge versus antarik tap. The main thing is antarik means inner penance, to not be affected when kashais arise, to keep the separation when kashais arise, to keep the non-self complex separate from the self when kashais arise, is called tap. is called penance. What is Param Tattva? Param Tattva is absolute element, is the original self only. And when it comes into the absolute, it is called Param Atma or the absolute self. Ishwar and Parameshwar is the same as Atma and Paramatma. Ishwar is the self. Isn't Ishwar an adjective? These are some new questions, a new Mahatma answering certain, going through certain general routine terminology of the words. In ignorance, ego that helps other, when nature helps a person with a positive ego, such a person is godlike or Ishwar. Ishwar. However, the real God arises when one attains Gnan. Aishwarya means energy of the God. Even an egoistic person can have energy of the God. He doesn't have to be self-realized. Yes, even an ignorant person can say that I can help others. So there is very positive energy, and then there is negative energy through the ego also. So, Ishwar is relative Atma, is the relative self, and then he becomes the self, pure soul, and then the pure soul becomes the absolute soul. So these are all stages. Eternal truth can be said that it is Paramatma. Just dissecting through various terminologies in Hinduism and in Jain scriptures. Jain scriptures talk about Atma Paramatma, and Vedant scriptures talk about Ishwar and Param Ishwar, Parameshwar. Atma Paramatma. What is the difference between Satya and Asatya, truth and untruth? These are all relative scales at the relative level. Somebody's truth becomes the other person's untruth. As even to move from the negative to the positive, it is all at the relative level, is it not? All positivity. Then he becomes insistent of relative truth, and then so then where it becomes untruth. Is it not true? He says to insist on the truth is good. He says no, that is poison, says Deepak Bhai. Don't you think Gandhiji went so much ahead because of insistence on truth? Deepak Bhai says that is good. He says, what happens if you tell your wife that tonight is you cannot hang on to relative truths and insist on it, otherwise you'll suffer. Because one is constantly changing. If you keep on fighting it, do not insist on relative truths, because there is it is true by relative viewpoint, not by real viewpoint. By really I am pure soul, he says. He says you are pure, but you have not become Swarup. You have become Shuddha, but you have not become Swarup yet. You have not become that totally. One is real truth and the other one is real truth. And the two are totally different. Two are miles and miles apart. But if you say this person is sitting to my right, it is correct. From my point of view, he is sitting to your left, is it not? Is he not? You say this person is sitting to my right, is it correct? But from the way, this is all relative, this man. So if you turn around, this direction has changed. The same man is, what you say is to your right, when you look at it from the other side, he is to your left, is it not? So what is true? What is true? And then the one who is hanging above you, sitting above you, he'll say is below me. The one who is below you, the same person is above me. Is it not relative? This is relative and it's changing. It is constantly changing and it's dependent on space, time and effects. And space and time effects, is it not? Are you really married? He says, yes, by relative viewpoint you are married, but are you really married? Yes. Yes. So it is relative. All truth is relative, is it not? Then you can say, he says, she is my wife, but she is not his wife, she is his sister, is it not? So, she is my wife, but she is his sister. Now, the same person has got relatively different relationship with everything else, human beings as well as objects, as well as subatomic particles. All are relative to each other, are they not? Where are you? I am in the self. Oh, are you in the self? Okay, very good. If you are in the self, then you are fine. Do you believe? He says the ultimate truth is hidden in the real truth. He's just going on and on with reference to small questions about truth and truth. Now with Deepak Bhai. You should recognize that Jugal's buddhi is understanding this. You are not that. Recognize that Param Satya. What is absolute Satya, absolute truth? Yeah, this is right and this is wrong. Do not insist on relative truths. Now, in my path towards the ultimate goal, the ego and the intellect take over. So, how should I be free from ego and intellect? So he says, I'm going on my home. Then recognize, who are you? He says, who is this? He says, I'm going in this direction. However, it pulls me in this direction. The ego and intellect is, but where are you? I am in my original self. Then it does not bother you if you are in the original self. Then why are you complaining about intellect and in ego if you are on the self? If you are in the self, then why are you complaining about ego and intellect? You are just saying that they take over. So on the one hand, you are saying the intellect and the ego takes over. Then why? How can you say that you are in the self? Again, therefore, you have come into the intellect and ego, have you not? It is very difficult to separate the ego. He says, the one who says it is difficult to separate the ego is ego itself, is it not? It is the ego itself who is saying that this is difficult. You should be recognizing that ego rather than complaining about that ego. You need to sit in prajna and then observe the ego and the intellect. And observe this ego and intellect. If it takes over, be observant that it has taken over now. And slowly it will. And so the intellect is ready to make you fall just right away. Just it may make you fall. Yes, he says, I am already in that study also. Very good. So then, if you are the knower and the seer, nothing can shake you, but you are getting interested in the ego and the intellect and you kind of get snared and deceitfully enter the intellect. I think it is less. As I am in satsang, this is less and less. As the intellect is both. It is only, you should see that this guy Jugal's ego junk is now pouring off in satsang, is unfolding in satsang. Just observe that. I can remain separate, but to stay separate and then to see separate. This is the step, to stay separate and then to see the separate and to break the dependence on which the faults arise and exist.
Works there are free, no, but a clear needs to be.
Yeah, well, how is important is it to improve the kriyas on the path of moksha? No, though that is discharging. Just remain in your pure soul state and everything else will automatically purify. You don't have to go into the rigorous methods of trying to purify the non-self complex. If you remain the knower and the seer, if you remain the seer of what is happening, then the non-self complex will automatically purify. You don't have to purify the nyor self complex. You should recognize that this, on this side of the line, is my shuddhatva, is my purity. The other side is whatever, whether it is good or bad, what difference does it make? It is because you enter into it and try to purify it that you create entanglements and interferences. Next one, next question. Ego has the desire of pride, money, etc., to spend the money in the right place. And if it doesn't happen, then it gets disturbed, and when it happens, it gets satisfied. Now I know that this should not be the case, but whenever it happens, it gets involved. So it's the ego of money and greed. It is the non-self complex, that prakruti. And so now if the money goes away, then you should tell her that if the money goes, that you should not suffer. If it comes, let it come, and when it goes. And so you should recognize that this is temporary. Money is not forever. It will come and it will go. Supposing it wants to eat a sweet dish, so when it comes in front of him, then the one who has desired gets fulfilled. And until it comes in front of the desire, until the desire gets fulfilled, the ego is constantly looking for the desire to be fulfilled. So you are the observer of both, until it comes and until it leaves. But when the money is spent according to my wishes, then I don't mind it. But when it is spent in the wrong ways, then I am upset. Then that recognize that it is the greed that's suffering. Because the greed means, when money comes, greed gets happy. The ego of greed gets happy. When money leaves, the ego of greed takes the beating. So it is the ego that is suffering. So then under such situations, why don't you take some money and spend it for poorer people? Will you be able to do it? No, you will not like it, because that is called greed, is it not? No, I'll spend it later, not now. But I constantly want to accumulate, I want to go. What do you think? Why don't you accumulate something that will increase and come with you in the next life, rather than, why don't you become greedy for the energies of the self rather than that which is perishable and vinashi? When greed arises, keep it separate, says Deepak Bhai. This is so. You have no choice except to keep separate from this. You have, and in that, anger, greed, deceit, and pride are the reason. These are the two main problems, are pride and greed. And so now in greed there is the sexual greed and the money greed. So we have four, and then there is deceit there. There is a doership, there is pride, and then there is greed, and then there is greed for sex, and there is a deceit in this. So when one has entered into the pride issues, then he enters into deceit again. So again, so he is constantly jumping from one hole into the other. Once he gets out of one hole, he enters into another hole, and into another hole. And so, again, so once his pride is over, then he thinks, this is profit loss in my pride. One cannot get out of these four kashayas. So constantly you have to remind him to get out of these four major holes of kashay, and the doership, and come out of this thing and just come out on this side of the line of demarcation into the S capital self line and say, get out, come on. It is very difficult for him to understand that my real state is pure soul. Even when he gets a beating, again the illusory attraction takes over. So how to get him back? This is such a heavy duty, not of mithyatva, wrong vision. And even though he suffers in these four kashayas, it is very difficult for him to extricate and get out of it. So therefore, in this crowd of Simandar city, and so it's like a big pail, and you know, you got this heavily stained clothes. The Simandar city is like a large pail in which you put all the dirty clothes and use very heavy chemicals to take off the dirt. What is to sublimate the ego and to make it the smaller than the smallest? Will that help to get rid of that I am smart, I am good, I am better, I am superior, I have good grasping power, etc., etc.? I feel like I know all of this. I have these built-in beliefs. How has it happened? But should I have... what is the fact? Can you show me where the fact is that you are pure soul? But these are all wrong beliefs, are they not? There is the pure soul on one side, and then there is a wrong belief. The right belief on the part of the self is that I am smaller than the smallest. When will you know? When you encounter a person who is smarter than you, better than you, more efficient than you, is more impressive than you, then you should tell this person from inside, hey Michael, you thought you were smart, but look, this other person has got so many other capabilities, and so he will sublimate his ego. And so the ego refuses to sublimate itself. But so when it takes a beating, or when it suffers, or when so one does not know how to sublimate the ego. I know. Yes, then what do you think? I know that this is all arising, but the easiest way is to take a full use of the beating that you take in life. Whenever there is a suffering arising in the non-self complex, at that time, make major use of it and say, see, you suffered. This is, you are in the wrong place. You are in that ego is not the place where you should be. The self is as capital. Is the place where you should be. But instead, what you do is you react and you counter-react and you slap back and you try to protect your relative stand, and you try to, the intellect gives all the reasons in which way, since how many ways you are correct in your position. But instead, the simplest way is, see, you suffered. The slightest inner suffering is the cue for you to move away from it and come to the self, and not to go into another hole of another kashaya, another deceit mode or a greed mode or an anger mode, but to move towards the line of the self as capital. This is, unfortunately, it is so. And here, when somebody else's thing is being discussed, you say it is not about, the intellect will say, this is not with me. It is being discussed, and the fault is of the other person only, and that is with whom Deepika is discussing. It is not about my fault. But really, all these four, you should recognize that every word that is coming out through the medium of our Gnani Purush Deepika is really for my own self. And where, how should I apply it, and how should I really move away and reverse from this land of kashayas into the land of freedom? And so if you show him the beauty of sublimation, because so the best place is when laghutam pad, the lower than the lowest, the smallest than smaller than the smallest, is the relative state of the gnani. But that is the gnani's level. In the relative, the Gnani in the relative is the smallest, smaller than the smallest. But your moha, your illusory attachment, your sense of the self, a small self, your pride, your need to be validated, your kashaya stand is still so heavy that it is impossible for you to come to the lower than the lowest. And so every situation in life is trying to send you on this side of the line of demarcation, and yet you want to remain on the other side. You have attained this knowledge through the grace of the Gnani. Yes, so therefore if you keep on saying, I'm pure soul, I'm pure soul, I'm pure soul, I'm pure soul, and one day of course you will come on this side, but your Purusharth is lacking here, is it not? Your true. To from the next hour you should be, where am I really getting hurt? Why am I still in the land of Kashais? Why am I not in the land of freedom? This is where your constant awareness should be. You should just, this is, so open up the line of demarcation and find out where you are. Where is the suffering? If you're not suffering, then there is no problem. Supposing there's a huge big needle and it's got a huge eye of the needle, but if a person is blind, he will not be able to put the thread through it. This is the nature. The heavier the ego, the more blind a person is, and the finer and the lighter the ego, the more he can see. So our vision should be, how can we increase our Purusharth to remain in the five agnas and to energize the five agnas to the point where we are able to apply it with his next question. This should be the goal, that I have to become lower than the lowest. This should be the homework. Where am I trying to apply superiority? When I am trying to become vishesh, extras, better than thou, where is my better than thou attitude? I am holier than thou and better than thou, two major obstacles. So if you are lower than the lowest, then you are on the flat, on the ground, are you not? Nothing can kick you lower, is it? Not if you are lower than the lowest, then you are flat on the ground, nobody can kick you down. But the very fact that people are kicking you down or putting you down means that it is your ego or pride that is arising, is it not? Next. I have begun. Every day I have started. I have started the homework you have given me, Deepak Bhai. He says, don't try to catch the whole elephant, you see, because you can't. But if you catch the tail of the elephant, maybe one day you can ride the elephant. So go step by step. You are the infinite energy, are you not? But you're not utilizing this. The ego can be melted away. It is the ego that has a reason out of wrong belief, is it not? You have just believed. It is Bhava. You are a passenger because of the train. So everything is changing. Why are you trying to stick in a situation? Why are you trying to establish your existence in a place which has no existence? It is a wrong belief, is it not? Ego is a wrong belief. Ultimately, when everything goes away, he says, I know. What do you mean, I know? Who is the person who says, I know? This is the ego, is it not? Every day, let it all fall on your ears. Let soak in this satsang only, and slowly it will all shatter one day, says Deepak Bhai. Next question, Ajay Sharma. Next one. My chit wanders in worldly things. What should I do? Have you received jnan? In Hindi, he is asking. Do you have the awareness that I am pure soul? Yes. Do you see and know that it is Ajay's chit that is wandering? I don't need those things, but even then, even the interest is decreasing, but still the chit goes there. You can devalue those things. But the reason the chit goes there because you have projected your happiness in that thing. Your chit goes in for two reasons. Either because it gives you pain or it gives you pleasure. It is an implied understanding and projection of pain or pleasure into the thing. So you can say, Dear Dada Bhagavan, I do not want that thing. Really, I have no desire for it. Grant me the energy not to see it as it is. I really do not have the desire to have it. Deepak Bhai, it is such a long train that let's do it for 5, 10 minutes, says Deepak Bhai. Why do we get afraid? Because we say there are 1,000 atoms and we have only one energy. But every time you deduct one, and so the energies, well, if you do it, if you ask for energies, then every time you ask for energy, it multiplies 10 by 10 to 100. And so every time you ask for the energy, then if there are 100 mistakes, if you have 100 mistakes, when you just ask for the one energy, you get 10 times 10. And so 10 times 10. So you don't have to be worried about what a youth stock it is externally. The external stock is not the problem. Are you having the correct understanding? And are you asking for the inner energies exactly? That is the exact approach. So this is the inner energies make it unwind. But most of it gets is when you are able to see that your chit is going there, majority of the energies are already attained. Oh, my chit is going there, but I don't need it. And so the seeing is a very major energizing process. And so then ultimately you see that there is nothing in it. And make a list, 1, 2, 3, and then do pratikraman, and then ask for the energies, never to have it again. And pratyakhyan means to affirm that you really do not want it. You have no. And then make a list in terms of in what ways is it dangerous, how it will it take away, how will it hurt you. Analyze in terms of how it is hurtful to you. Write it down if necessary. I have a wrong pratiswabhav. I have anger. I have competitive. I'm in competitive spirit. In studies everywhere, I'm into a competition mode, and I know that is wrong. So how can I become free from it? I'm in a competitive mode and comparison and jealousy issues. Is it healthy competition or is it unhealthy competition? So then compete with somebody who is superior to you, not somebody who is inferior to you. And can you ever proceed forward by cutting somebody else's leg, by kicking somebody else? That is unhealthy competition, is it not? So if you are in a competitive mode, then compete with somebody who is ahead of you, but not by hurting him, but by a healthy competition. Or the other correct approach is to move on this side of the line of demarcation and say, I am pure soul and dear Dada, give me the energies. He says, I feel like they are all ahead of me and I am behind. My intellect says I will be left behind. So the solution should be, at least be happy for them. They are ahead. They are proceeding. They are your own self, are they not? If they get a job and you don't get it, at least you are happy for them, are they not? Should be happy for them that at least now they will bring bread in their home. So be happy in that way for him. But if you are jealous of him, then the jealousy will burn you alive from inside. It will not help you. He will not be hurt, but you will be eating. It's like a cancer that eats you from inside. Appreciate the beautiful energies that other gentleman has, so that he has proceeded ahead and now he is proceeding forward. So appreciate his good qualities rather than getting into an envy, jealousy mode with him. It's because when you become jealous or when you become envious, you are lighting the fire within. So understand the Siddhant, the principle of how to proceed. Instead, I am left behind. Instead of saying I am left behind, look at and appreciate. Oh wow, what energy! Look at the beauty with he is proceeding forward. How nice for him! I am so happy for him. He is my own self, is he not? He is my own self. You see, he. I am not jealous, but there is a sense of inferiority. That this is the method to get out of inferiority, to ask for the energies and appreciation in the relative and asking for the energies within are the two paths to proceed forward in a positive manner. And so then on this side you have a whole bunch of energies to attain. I want to have the distinct and the most beautiful experience of the oneness of the pristine self, the love of the self that sees the self in all. But the nature of the intellect is to divide and to see the negative, is it not? And it is the ego that suffers because the intellect sees something wrong, is it not? And so do not allow the intellect to enter into the process of competition, jealousy, inferiority, being left behind, but instead go into the vidhi, which is asking for the energies, and says, so every circumstance can be looked in two ways, is it not? One is a negative solution, and the other one is a positive solution. Next question. This is the one's difficulty is directly proportional to one's own impurities, and one's own impurities is the reason why the other person also suffers. The more purer you become, the lesser your difficulties and the lesser the difficulties of others. Sometimes I feel like there is a constant problem. Does that ego is the impurity, says Deepak Bhai. I want to do the work, however, and I try to make the person understand, she says, however, it feels like there is a constant problem, is it not? Is that my own impurity? Deepak Bhai says, he says, you have to understand that. Because he doesn't understand, the ego and the intellect complex does not understand, that is why you have to make it understand, is it not? The most important. Let remain natural and sahaj. Dada is opening up. This is a very high level sentence. That Ashuddhi means impurity arises out of wrong belief, and with right belief impurities leave. So you don't have to clear the junk. It is you. The only way to clear it is turn on the light. The light is the self. The self is pure. So the purity of the self will see that this has got relatively no value, and it will automatically improve. You don't have to go and say, I'm going to clear up these impurities. So then we should recognize that all these worldly difficulties that we encounter are actually arising only to fall away. You should not be so concerned that when will these difficulties leave? Instead, they are falling away. This sentence is the more, there are two levels of purity. There is a purity is at two levels. At the purity is at the level of conviction, and the purity is at the level of experience. The purity at the level of experience is total purity, whereas purity at the level of conviction is incomplete purity. Even though it is purity by 100%, it is still not complete purity. And so complete purity is at the level of the experience. Then the link between the two is the five agnas. And then, so the question, why am I suffering? Why am I having difficulties? Is the impurity? Then separate it and then say, it is whatever has happened is vyavasthit. It is only a file, is it not? The lack of application of the five agnas is the reason why you are not able to move in the direction of purity. Instead, what you are saying is, why is there impurity? Why is there impurity? And so how will I improve the impurity? You have the answer. It is vyavasthit, is it not? It is coming in front of you. It has arisen as a difficulty to be dealt with, equanimity. And so we are applying this great. So you are taking high levels of questions, sutras of Dada Shri, and you are misapplying them. because, oh, I am having so many difficulties because I am impure. Well, you have attained the purity. Why are you saying that I am impure? I have made you pure, then why are you saying I am impure? When you fall down, if there is a fracture in the arm, you say the arm has a fracture, but what do you say? I fell down and I got fractured. So the other person must not suffer on my account. That is a sutra. And when the suffering arises, then what should I do? You should pratikraman is the only answer. It says when you do pratikraman, tap will automatically arise. Internal tap and external pratikraman. It's a do everything so that the other person does not suffer. Okay. Already 9 o'clock. Wow, time passes. So ultimately, we have to come back to five agnas. In every world interactions, Deepak Bhai is summarizing, five agnas is the key, and five agnas is going to energize you towards the Shuddhatva. Shuddhatva is the pure state, P capital, S capital, Shuddhatva. And so five agnas is your main adhar, it is your main energizing force. Okay, let's do the vidhi now.
Jai Sachidananda.